Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show. This is going to be a very special show today because we have important and legendary Chicago group, the Steelers, up in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, first of all, I guess we'll introduce everybody that's in the studio. I guess you guys can introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Alonzo.
Mac, better known as A.K. Mac Attack.
I'm the Go Man.
My name is Wes Wells, the legendary Wes Wells.
It's very legendary up in here right now. Everybody in Chicago, I'm sure, remembers the Steelers. You guys had your biggest hit in 1969 with Get It From the Bottom. A huge national hit. It even crossed over, went pop, too.
Oh, yes, it did.
I thought what we would do is go chronologically, sort of start off with sort of how the group formed and play some of your records in order, and then all the way up to today and what's happening today. So, and the interview's cut a little bit short because you guys actually are doing a show tonight, right?
Yes. Yes.
So we got about an hour to talk. So hopefully we'll get a lot of information out in the hour that we're here. So I guess first, before I play any music, we could talk about how you guys formed, where you guys are from. Like you were originally called the Thrills, right?
At one given time, yes.
Okay. I heard you guys formed around, you were telling me you formed around 1963, right?
Yeah.
So what were the original members of the group?
Frank Chili Allen, Sylvester Barden, George Wells, Wes Wells, and myself, Alonzo Wells.
Okay, so how did you guys originally get together?
Well, we was kids together. Social Center from Social Center.
Okay.
And we started singing at Social Center, that all the girls and things, you know what I'm saying, used to be watching the guys sing the Fascinators, the Ideas had Gorilla, Go, Go, Go,
okay.
Gorilla. And it was another group, the Clever Tones.
Okay.
We started watching them, and along with Herb Kent's legendary Cool Gents.
Okay.
They used to rehearsal Insane Playground there.
Where was that?
West Side.
Okay.
Campbell and Monroe there.
Okay. So you guys got started just by watching the other, like, doo-wop and early soul groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you guys started singing, and originally you just started sort of harmonizing in the street, right? That's the type of thing you did?
Well, hallway action then, got up on the street lights.
Okay.
And we used to watch the El Dorados. They used to come to the west side there, Prickly Moses and company there. They used to be doing a lot of things, and we were watching how they make that harmony.
Okay.
But mainly we got it from the Dales.
Okay, so you started trying to imitate the other doo-woppers that were out there at the time.
Yeah.
So originally you guys were just sort of doing other people's songs and harmonizing. Would you ever do shows, or you just mainly singing?
We did local shows.
Okay.
The time.
And then finally you went and recorded a record, right, in 1965.
Yes.
Can you tell the story about how you actually got hooked up with I guess a manager and a record label to record the record?
Well, yeah, a guy by the name of Louis Smith. He introduced us to a guy named Al Smith.
Okay.
And he was connected with VJ Records. I think him and Lefty Bates was the band director. They had all the music and stuff that came out of VJ at the time. And VJ was a legendary company because they had Jerry Butler and a lot of other artists that they had. But because, like, we kept on hanging around, so Louis came up with a tune called Crying Bitter Tears, him and Wes, and my brother George, I think it was, on that right, Wes?
I think so, cool.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, he had us to, you know, start working with it, so we put, you know, parts in it and harmonized, so that made us have a connection to the tune. And the other side of that, I think, was Walk Along.
Okay.
Okay. We went to the studio and we cut this. So, okay, Chuck's Boxdale, which is one of the Dales, and Pookie Hudson.
The Spaniel,
yeah. They like, A&R that, you know, like along with Monk Higgins.
So you said they were actually hanging out in the studio when you recorded that?
They went down there with Al because Al Smith had them as a group, too, at the time.
Okay. So you ended up recording this record. And I guess I'll play the record, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, actually.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite Chicago records, I think. It's just, you know, excellent harmony, excellent song. This is from 1965, and this is Crying Bitter Tears. Okay, we're back in the studio interviewing legendary Chicago group, the Steelers. So we were just talking about how you guys were originally called the Thrills, and then what happened was you got manager Al Smith,
mm-hmm.
and you signed to Al Benson's label.
Right.
That record, Crying Bitter Tears, was on one of his labels called Glow Star.
Right.
And he also had a label called Crash.
Yes.
So before we talk about your next records, I want to talk about, first of all, you were originally called the Thrills, right? But you released that record as the Steelers, and that became your name. So how did you get the name the Steelers?
Well, the old swing master himself gave it to us, Al Benson.
Okay.
And yeah, he said, like, hey, Thrills, oh, nah. So, like, hey, why don't you guys look in the book here and see, can you find a name? Dictionary, yeah, like.
Okay.
And so, like, we came up with the name Steelers, and he said, like, hey, that got a strong foundation. See, I like that.
So you just, you didn't open the book, you started flipping through, and the best, you found the Steelers?
Right, Steel Meal, you know.
Okay.
So it says Steelers, why not make it Steelers?
Okay. So, and you were talking about the harmony on that track is really nice, like, and you were talking about how one of the Dells actually was asking you about how you did the harmony on that record.
Yeah, the sound.
Okay.
What we did was double some notes, you know, like they weren't doing that back then, and put top on it, that's all.
Okay. And the B-side of the record, Walk Alone, is really nice, too. And you guys, actually, another thing is you pretty much wrote all your own, all your records, right?
Yeah, we did a lot of them.
Almost all your records.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to play your second record now, which is Walk Alone. This is the B-side of Crying Bitter Tears. Okay, we're back in the studio here with the Steelers. That was just both sides of their first record from 1965. That was Crying Bitter Tears and Walk Alone. And that record, your first record, was like a hit in Chicago, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you remember about how many copies sold, or maybe like 50?
50,000.
Over 50,000 of the first one.
A lot of records off of that.
And it got heavy play on the stations, yeah, too, locally. So, and you guys actually wrote both of the songs, too. And we were just talking about, off the air, about you guys hadn't previously had experience actually writing songs.
No.
Or, like, formal. You didn't have formal musical training either, right?
No.
So what you did, you wrote out the words first, and then you started harmonizing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? You had to give it to someone to, like, arrange it or notate it?
Well, we had a guitar player.
Okay.
And he came up with the idea. Then we carried it to Monk Higgins.
Okay.
Then Monk put the structure.
Monk arranged it.
Yes.
You know, back in the day, you know, like they didn't write them out. They do them like they used to do in Motown. That all the musicians get in and everybody start playing. Yeah. You start singing. You know, you had to sing it. You know?
So your guitar player was real instrumental. Your guitar player. So what was his name?
Walter Mobley.
Walter Mobley. Okay. So you continued on with Al Benson's label. Your next record was on like a different label of his though, called Crash.
Mm-hmm.
And this next record was a hit in Chicago too, The Flame Remains, right?
Right. Yeah.
So when did this come out? This was like 67, right?
Yeah. That's when we did.
Yeah, 67.
So there was like about a 2 year gap.
Yes.
So what happened between those 2 years? Did you start doing more shows now that you had a hit record already?
Well, we was working all the local places.
Okay.
Waukee and, you know, like that. And we was also going to Milwaukee at the time. We was running, what Mr. Yan say that?
Yeah.
In a place called Darlene's there in Milwaukee at the time.
Okay, and you played lots of local places in Chicago too, right?
Mm-hmm.
What types of places, what places did you play? Do you remember any of the venues?
Yeah, slightly. The Birdland, you know, it's like it was open.
Okay.
Yes, and we used to do that in the one tree and now.
Then we did
that.
The Guys and Dolls.
The Guys and Dolls, yeah. High Chaparral.
Do you remember any of the guys that you opened with or played with?
Sure.
For?
We did it with Bobby Rush.
Okay.
Tyrone Davis, Jerry Butler.
Okay.
Gene Chandler.
All the local guys we did.
We even did this group called the Love Lights.
Yeah.
We did them. And we also,
but they were like later though, like 70s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sam and Dave. Then we came along with Emotions, did a thing at the Black Expo. You know, I'm just trying to remember some of the years.
Okay, well, we'll get back to the music then talk a little bit more.
Okay.
This next record was your second record, and it was another hit. This was called The Flame Remains. Okay, that was just The Flame Remains, which was the second big hit for the Steelers. from around 1967, like we were talking about. And the B-side of that record is really good, too, which I'll play if we have time.
Play it.
Okay, well. The B-side is called Heaven's Gift. It's got a real nice arrangement on it, too. And this record, we were saying, it also got lots of local play in Chicago. I'll play the record right now, and then we could talk more, actually. So this is Heaven's Gift. Okay, we're back in the studio with the Steelers, and I actually got a caller on the air. This is Richard Murray. Richard, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, and you were saying that this record actually came out in 66, right?
Right.
Yeah, you were saying you remembered a record shop that these guys would come down to a lot and play. Where was that?
It was a police officer named Martin Morgan.
Okay.
He was like my own kids in pork.
Okay.
And I used to see Wester Wells come by every week, and they played that record. And this police officer made everybody buy the record.
Okay.
You know, I mean, everybody was buying the record. And I don't know how many copies he sold, but half of them had to come from his shop.
Okay.
You know, then later on, you know, Jerry O'Murray had the shop.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Karate Boogaloo.
Yeah, he did all the Boogaloo records. And so were you guys saying that he actually, your next record that came out after this was called Just Beginning to Love You. Were you saying he was the producer of that record too, maybe?
Yeah, he did do that.
Okay, but that record is actually very rare. Like, I don't even have it to play here. And you guys were saying something about, like, it's rare because he got an argument with either Al Benson or someone at the label.
Yeah,
and
something happened there.
And so you pulled the record, and you didn't really get.
He pulled the record. It was his record.
Oh, okay. That's too bad because it's a good record too. Like, I think a lot of collectors are looking for that one. Well, thanks, Richard.
Okay, the Wesley nickname is Preach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we go through everyone's nicknames here?
Alonzo is cool.
Right.
one of them was called Red. I remember all those guys real well. Guys had a fantastic voice. They was great.
Do you remember?
They're still good. let me say this while I'm on the air.
Okay.
WSSD
88.3.
I can't think the.
It's 88.3, I think.
Yeah. Okay, Shake is number three on their chart there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and a few weeks ago it was number one.
So that's off the new CD, right?
Right, off the new CD they got.
Yeah, we'll talk about the new CD near the end of the interview, but yeah, that's definitely one of the tracks on it. Well, thanks a lot for calling up, Richard.
No problem.
Okay, well, we'll get back to the interview now. After that, we got a call in the air, but
okay, we're getting a call out. You got cool. Who's this?
Okay, well, we're on the air right now. Wes, you wanna get on the mic?
Okay, right now what we doing now? I'm on the air now. I can't talk to you right now.
Anyways,
okay.
After this, you actually had a huge hit. You eventually got signed to a major label,
mm-hmm.
Which was Date Records, which is Columbia Records.
Right.
And you had a huge hit with Get It From the Bottom. So I was wondering, first of all, you could tell how you got hooked up with Columbia Records and like what happened.
With Columbia Records?
Yeah.
After we left the Date label, they signed us over to...
I'm talking about the Date label, actually. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we
how you got on there and...
How we got on the Date label?
Yeah.
Al Smith.
Your manager?
Yeah, he's the manager, and he moved us on down to Epic.
Okay. Well, we're still before that. We're on
Are you going before that?
Yeah,
oh,
let me
God.
Take this. Okay, we was on Tory, which is Al Smith's label.
Okay.
It's called Tory Records. Okay, so like he cut Get It From the Bottom out, put it on there, and did a test run on it. And it was so hot, so they wanted it, and then he wanted to keep it a little longer. You know, so like, then he finally gave it to him.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that Get It From the Bottom, you said it actually got pressed on his label first on Torrid Records. You said like 5,000 copies or something.
Yeah.
So a little bit more than that.
Yeah, that's a really obscure record. I've never seen it. I don't know anyone who's seen it on the original Torrid label. But then eventually Columbia Records, Date Records, they saw it and picked it up. So,
yeah, right.
And this became a huge national hit, and it actually crossed over. It went R&B and pop.
Mm-hmm.
You don't remember how high it went on the charts, do you guys?
Oh, it was halfway to top 100. I know.
Halfway to top 100 in the
radio station. It was number three. It was pressing.
Yeah,
Billboard.
That's on the pop charts. So it probably went even higher on the R&B charts.
Yes.
Yeah, I know it was a huge hit in Chicago in probably like summer of 1969. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is your huge hit with "Get It From the Bottom." Okay, that was just their first huge hit for the Steelers. That was Get It From the Bottom. That came out in 1969. So at that time, you actually crossed over pop and you started doing like a lot of, you started touring nationally. Is that right?
Right.
So can you talk about sort of who, I understand you actually started touring with like pop and rock groups too, right? Yeah.
Okay, we did thing at the Pacific Arena, Pittsburgh, and you know, something like the acts were, if I can remember correctly, was the Grassroots, the Cufflinks, the Crows, and what's those other group name? The Ohio Express.
Yeah, the Yummy 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 group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you said
Mel and Tim, okay. Backfield and Emotion. Yeah, on that particular venue.
So you started going touring with like sort of pop and crossover type groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you guys were on some like rock TV shows too. Is that right?
Yeah, Scene 70. We did that with what's the name of this group? West out of Detroit. Detroit Emeralds.
The Detroit Emeralds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scene 70. We did that.
Do you remember any of the other shows you were on?
With local Milwaukee sets.
Your cell phone technology is ruining this interview. is that okay? Or?
Anyway. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, well, anyways, I'll play the B side of Get It From the Bottom right now because it's a really nice record, and then we could talk more. So this is called I'm Sorry, and this is the other side of Get It From the Bottom. Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to a very special interview with the Steelers that we're doing right now in the Sitting in the Park show. We were just talking about how they finally got their first national hit with Get It From the Bottom, which was on Columbia Date Records in 1969. That was just the B-side of that record called I'm Sorry. So right after that, did you guys think you were being like superstars all of a sudden, that you had this national hit? Like what was happening all of a sudden? Like not a lot of Chicago groups got to have national hits. Like only the Impressions and a few other groups even got national. So what was happening with you guys with the limousines?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We used to pick up. We used to live at the Chatham in Pittsburgh. We used to have limos come pick us up. $100 a day we was paying for rooms.
Okay.
And things of that nature. That's when we met the Skyliners. You know, like it was called themselves the Velvet then. They switched names.
Okay.
And we was there in Pittsburgh at this fancy hotel.
That was like one of the shows, when you were doing a show in Pittsburgh?
No, we went to today's show.
Oh, okay.
We was doing the show there at the arena, so the Pacific Arena.
Okay.
So we left that and went to the hotel where they were playing at.
Okay.
And it was nice. Rocky was really a nice guy, man.
So how were you dealing with all of a sudden? First, you were just like regular guys, and you were big superstars all of a sudden, riding in limos.
Well, it didn't
change anything.
No, I was still was me. Some of the people, you know, like around me, you know, they told me, said like, "Hey, I'm the star. You ain't. Get in the back." But they was only teasing it.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
So, you guys make a lot of money off this record at the time, or?
Well, it may change.
Okay.
Get It From The Bottom was like, man, the record when it crossed over. You know, we were singing at like the Pacific Arenas. We was up, you know, just doing those type gigs.
Okay.
And we begged them to let us sing for black people.
Okay.
Because we didn't understand that the record was crossover. We was excited, you know, and we got tired of that. You know, we was singing, like, we did some shows with, like, what's the guy called it, Jefferson Airplanes or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so Columbia Records, they saw that you crossed over, so they were trying to push it towards the white audience.
Yeah, we did the one with the Detroit Emeralds. Those guys called Backfield in Motion, Mel and Tim.
Yeah.
We was doing all that kind of stuff then.
So, then after that record came out, though, you actually left Date Records and went to Epic Records, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's the story behind that?
Well, the story was Granville White, Granny White. He in turn said, "Well, like, hey man, you guys got some. Why don't y'all learn this and learn that? What I mean by this and that. By the time I get to finish yesterday, up in the way we were singing tunes of that, we did an album there, which."
Oh, you're talking once you got to Epic,
right?
But how did you get to Epic? Did you have a contract with Columbia?
Well, it was through Granville White.
Oh, okay.
He switched the deal.
Oh, okay.
Gave us the other label.
Okay,
he was a regional promotional person.
Oh, okay. So he just switched the label that you were on, but it was this with the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and he, like you said, he was trying to like do by the time I get to
by that life. Time, you know, like the good stuff came in, you know, the green stuff came in, you know, and everybody was set for a little while.
So you got to Epic, and he was trying to make you do pop songs, and like by the time I get to Phoenix,
no, well we cut a whole album
on Epic,
yeah,
yeah, but it just never was released, right?
Well, management had a conflict there, and. Some kind of way it got stopped and held up because it was conflict with management.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to play. You actually cut two 45s at Epic, though. I think the first one came out in 1971, and it was called Can't Take This Pain.
Yeah.
So this is a really, really, both sides of this record are really nice. I'll play both sides if we have time. This is the first Epic record by the Steelers called Can't Take This Pain. This is actually A Thousand Tomorrows, which is the B-side.
I never knew a tear had a tear.
Okay, that was actually the B side of your guys' first epic record. That was A Thousand Tomorrows. The A side was called Can't Take This Pain. You guys were talking about how people actually that's a Steppers record in Chicago now. Is that right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you were saying that Tom arranged Tom Washington arranged that record. And the other side, the Can't Take This Pain, was actually done by Donny Hathaway.
That's right.
Okay, so if we have time within the interview, I'll play the other side of the record, which is really good too. And then after that, you cut a record, which I think it was originally done by a pop singer, but a few soul groups did it. I think you might have been one of the first groups that did it. You cut "You're What's Missing from My Life" on Epic.
Also, yeah. Lou Rawls did it. Also,
yeah. I think the Whispers did it, and a few other soul groups did it later.
Mm-hmm.
But you were one. Do you know if Lou Rawls did it before you guys, or who cut it?
I think he did it after.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think you were one of the first groups to cut it, and I don't know if I have time to play that, but you cut two records on Epic, and then you left. I don't know if it was because of the conflict you were talking about with the album.
Yeah.
Proper. So then you left Epic, and then for a couple of years you were, I guess, stagnant. Like you didn't. I guess were you still doing shows within those two? Okay, like doing local shows, and then you had like a local hit. Or another record locally, you did a remake of "Get It from the Bottom" called "From the Top of My Heart."
Right.
And that was actually released on Al Smith's label again, on the Torrid label.
Right.
Do you remember which was the A? That was the A side, right? The "Get It from the Top of My Heart," or the other side was called "It Must Be Love," which was the side that got played.
I think the "Must Be Love" thing might have been the A side.
Okay, I know marked on the record. Marked on the record is
they switched it over. They started one side and played the other.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to actually play the "It Must Be Love" side. And you actually, you did another version of this in the 80s, right? "It Must Be Love."
Mm-hmm.
So this is the original version
mm-hmm.
of the record from 1974 when you came back on Al Smith's Torrid label. So here it is.
Just up and leave, baby.
Truly.
You know you didn't have to.
Truly.
You left me with tears in my eyes.
Really.
And you didn't even say goodbye.
You must think twice for your pain to find. Every girl can be too great a sacrifice. Too great a sacrifice.
Woo-hoo!
Must be love that is in you.
It's got to be love.
Okay, that was just the Steelers from 1974 with "It Must Be Love," and you guys actually remade the song in 1984 which I don't know if we'll get time to play that record because it's a shortened interview. But what was happening, I guess, in the mid 70s was you were just trying to it was getting tougher in Chicago.
Yes.
To put out and release records. Like similar thing happened when we talked to the Five Wagers. The guy I talked to, James Westbrook, they actually had to move out. He moved out to L.A. because, like, the clubs and sort of were drying up.
Oh, they tried to get us to go with them.
Oh, okay.
They said, ain't no money here. Let's go to L.A. So we refused. Then it was another group called the Mandales.
Okay.
That we used to be, you know, friends with.
Yeah, yeah. They broke up in 74, too, I think.
Yeah.
Because of what happened to the lead singer. So, but the next thing you tried to do, you actually tried to put out a record yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? You formed a label called Baba, and this was around 75. And you recorded a really nice record. One side was like a psychedelic, funky Temptations kind of record.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side was a real nice harmony cut called Leave It Like It Is. Mm-hmm. And you were telling me the story about this record was you actually pressed it up yourself,
yeah.
right? And you said you pressed 5,000 copies, but then they were mispressed. Like you got them from the factory, and
yeah. So we was dealing with 45s then.
Yeah.
And so the lacquer, you know, like it had the nick in it. Like every time you played it, skip, grip, grip, grip. So I had to take that whole batch back. And anger stepped in. I just made the guy give me money and just dropped the whole project.
Yeah, which is too bad because it was a nice record. Like
yeah.
I think could have gotten played if it got promotion and. So, anyways, the record ended up being really rare, like only a few copies got out because the rest were destroyed. And I want to thank Dave Bird in California for recording this record for me. This is the Steelers with your record from 1975 that you put out. This is called Leave It Like It Is.
Thank you.
Okay, that was just the Steelers with a record which never really came out because of problems with the pressing. That was a really nice cut called Leave It Like It Is. Like, real distinctive sound. And you guys actually always had a really, really distinctive harmony, especially with Wes's high, high singing. And after that, actually, you were still kind of struggling to get a record out, and you actually released a record on a label, an Ohio label called AMG, and the record was called Disturbing Thoughts. And you were saying it was sort of like a scam, like you had to pay the guy to put out the record, mm-hmm. and he never really distributed it well, right?
Right.
So that's too bad too, because it's a pretty good record. Like, I know now collectors are looking for that one because it's hard to find. And I want to thank Derek Pearson from the UK. He sent me a copy of it too, which I will play if we get time. But we wanted to go back and play the second epic record you did, which was You're What's Been Missing from My Life. And you were talking about how this is one of your only records actually that you guys didn't write the song.
Right.
And you were talking about how you had the producer appointed to you.
Yeah, Frank Wren.
Okay.
He had Eyes of Mods and Bill Chase at the time.
Okay.
And so, like, since we had struggled with management, so, like, they appointed him to do this particular tune.
Okay. So this record is back from, I think, 71, I think, 71 or early 72, maybe. Mm-hmm. And this is You're What's Been Missing from My Life on the Epic label. And after this, we'll talk about your new material.
Okay.
Every time I thought I felt love, I found I didn't care. Every time I thought I could love, I found it wasn't there.
Okay, that was just You're What's Been Missing from My Life, the second epic record released by the Steelers. It had very, like, psychedelic type of sound. And you guys were saying actually it had Earth, Wind & Fire playing on the record.
Yeah, before they became Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. So I guess they weren't already, like, you guys brought them with you into the studio, or you're...
No, well, see, we used to they used to call themselves the Pharaohs.
The Pharaohs, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, Chuck Henney, you know, like I knew him, and John and my brother Georgie, you know, they used to be kids together. And we used to go to the house there, and Miss Annie used to put the pot out, and we used to eat and get on at the house there. You know, so we go back there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, so they were just hanging out with you, and they ended up doing the record with you. So going back to the story, you guys were one of the few Chicago groups, like, you actually continued. First of all, you guys are one of the longest running Chicago groups, even till today. Like, only a few groups, like the Dells and the Shy Lights,
really
have been around that long, and, you know, continue to release and perform. And you guys actually. You weren't on any major labels, but you were one of the few groups who continued to release records throughout the 80s. Like, you had records on a few labels, and I think around 84, you still did stuff. A lot of stuff you did was with Tom Washington, right?
Tom, yeah.
Yeah, and then even recently, you've had a few CDs out, right? Like, you were recently on Malico.
Yes.
And what can you talk about the current project you're on?
Oh, the current project is a beautiful project.
Okay.
However, people is handling us very well here with this. Okay, now, that's New Sound Records.
Okay.
And which is good.
You were saying that was, like, Willie Henderson was involved with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Willie's definitely there.
Okay. Okay, so, and you guys still do shows, right? Like, you recently did a show with the Dramatics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was like around New Year's, I think. Mm-hmm. So definitely one of the few groups still around, still performing, still doing shows. So everybody should check them out. And you guys are doing a show tonight, right, in Joliet?
Yeah, we got to go up there, yeah.
Yeah, that's why the interview is cut short.
Right.
But the CD that you have now, it's in stores already?
Yes. Okay, Empress is the production, you know, like a distributor, rather. I'm sorry about that. And they are, you know, doing a pretty good job. That's Gus Rettman, them.
Okay.
Yeah. They're working this, you know, pretty good.
Okay, so, and the CD's got a lot of different types of cuts. Like, earlier, Richard Murray called up and he said your song Shake was getting play on WSSD. And you got a Steppers type cut on here, too, that ain't no joke.
When it comes to dope.
When it comes to dope. That's a record you've redone a few times recently, right, on your a few CDs.
Yeah, we're trying to put that message out to the youngsters. You know, like, your mind is a turbo vein of ways. And the little brothers, you know, like, is getting clouded in the mind there. And they're blowing. They don't know, but they're blowing.
Yeah, that's definitely a nice difference cut. And it's got Don Myrick.
Don Myrick, yes.
Yeah, before he passed. You were saying Barbara Acklin is in the background somewhere, too.
Oh, definitely,
too.
Yeah. And we have Barbara Acklin there, Joanne Graham, and Diane Womack.
No.
So all that used to be part of our clique when we had, you know, some like everybody together there.
Oh, okay.
We all used to do shows and things together there.
And so the CD is actually very diverse. Like, you have a lot of different stuff. You even have a record that's got the Brat on it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Let's feed our own.
Okay. And that's actually a remake of a record you did in the early 80s, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
The record I'm going to play off of the CD is actually another message song. This song is called Leave Those Guns Behind.
Good choice.
Yeah, I think it's got real nice harmony. The song's written real well. It's got a nice Chicago sound on it. So this is, again, off of the Steelers' new CD, which you can get in stores now. And this is called Leave Those Guns Behind.
No surprise, bruising bullets have. tears to shed, no more lies to waste. Let's get together and make this world a better place. Oh yeah! Don't you know that?
Okay, that was just a cut off your new CD that was called Leave Those Guns Behind. And I just wanted, first of all, I want to say thanks so much to the Steelers for coming into the studio to do this interview. Legendary Chicago group. They can't say the whole time because you guys are doing a show tonight, right?
Right.
You're doing a show with the Intruders, actually, right?
Yeah.
Where is that? Maybe people
can. Empress,
yeah, in Joliet. So people drive real fast, they can catch you guys maybe. But you guys, you don't know of any specific other shows you have coming up, right?
We have one February the 12th. It's going to be at the Holman Square.
Okay.
It's Allerton and Holman Avenue.
West Allerton.
Okay.
Yeah, that's February the 12th. Okay. We got one the 22nd at the Oasis Theater this month.
Okay. Yeah. Who are those shows with? You know, who performing
well,
with?
We got a young brother doing a tribute to Barry White.
Okay.
Anzone. I mean, superb. He's really marvelous with that.
Okay.
Then we got Grand Master doing Curtis Mayfield.
No, okay.
And Al Green. And we also have the Mac Attack, which is one of our tenors. You know, like he's doing tribute to Eddie Kimbridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So definitely people should go out and look for those shows.
Oh,
and
definitely.
Go see you guys.
Well, hey.
And you should buy the new CD.
Believe it or not, get that new CD.
Because what?
Because Chicago, we would like to say this to you.
And we believe in you.
Go get that CD, y'all.
Small sample of the harmony you could get. And
Go
wanted to say one more thing.
To the Chicagoland. I'd like for everybody prayers to go out for the Tyrone Davis family. Thank you so much.
Okay, so...
Still about a name.
Oh. And another guy named Cicero Blakes.
Yeah, y'all, please put him in your prayer. Would you do that for us? Put Cicero Blake and Tyrone Davis in your prayers. Very good friends of ours. Thank you.